The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Florida Department of Health, Escambia County.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Walking on sunshine this morning with our friends with the Florida Department of Health. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
It is a beautiful sunny day.
It is. It's time to get into the mood for spring and summer. And you are here with, we are here this morning with Marie Mott. She's with the Florida Department of Health, and she has a guest with her to talk about something important this month, I believe.
I do. I want to introduce our guest today. It's Christina Perron. She's one of our registered dietitians at the Department of Health. So it's
I see where this is going.
The dietitians are ganging up on everybody today. So,
well, for someone that just recently got the shorts out and the bathing suit to see if, you know, how things are, it's like, time to start eating those salads.
So, yeah, so we're here today because March is National Nutrition Month.
Oh, okay.
So it's if you're into the nutrition field like Christina and I am, then this has always been a really special month. But it's just a great way to kick off the spring and get people thinking about healthy eating and what we eat and how food connects us. So that's our theme for this year, is food connects us. And I'll let Christina kind of jump in. I don't want to hog the mic.
So this is Christina Perron. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
And so you're a dietitian, nutritionist at all, as they say, covering all of that. So help us out here. How can we celebrate Nutrition Month?
Yeah, so one way that you could celebrate National Nutrition Month this year is learning more about exactly how food connects us, because food is it's a connecting factor for many of us. It connects us to our cultures, our families, our friends, even our coworkers. You know, because sharing a meal with someone, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to learn about its preparation, the person that made it. You could learn about where the food was sourced, such as, you know, like where it came from, how was it grown. Also, there's many things that could impact our relationship with food, such as our health, certain memories, traditions, even the seasons, and also our ability to access food. All of these can impact our relationship and how we connect with food.
Well, everyone has their favorites, right? But our favorites are not necessarily the healthiest for us, I might add, for me anyway. So talk a little bit about that, the healthy choices.
Yeah, well, and I want to add in before we get into that, you know, food also connects us to our community, which kind of holds a place in my heart. But we're really in a fortunate area where we have a lot of agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a fair amount of locally grown foods, fruits and vegetables, and even, you know, animal foods. But we do have a lot of plant agriculture here. And so there's farmers markets around. And places where you can get locally grown produce. We probably will have one coming to the health department. We have a farmer that sets up in the parking lot at this time of year, usually starting in April, you know, and brings her produce down.
I didn't know that.
End of the county, yeah.
Where's that location?
So that's at 1295 West Fairfield Drive.
Uh-huh.
That's our main facility. And there's a little patio pad kind of out by near our main parking lot where she'll usually set up when she's here. It's usually 1 or 2 days a week, and we haven't got the dates set yet, but that'll be coming. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that some more. So that's another way that food connects us. But we're going to get back to the original question. I didn't mean to divert too much.
No. This is your time, so please.
And I'm glad that you mentioned farmers markets, because that's also a great resource to find out exactly how the food was grown and where it was raised, because they know where they're getting these products, and you have that opportunity to talk one-on-one with. Oftentimes, the people that are at the farmers markets, they're like directly involved with the growing process.
And that, yeah, they can tell you what's in season, what's coming up in season. And that's part of connecting to food and how food connects us too, is, is, you know, using those seasonal things that usually means you get it at a better price point. You know, and I've kind of, I was raised by older parents and grandparents from the Depression. So I've always kind of been ingrained with the budget part, the home economics part of food.
Yes.
And so, you know, finding better ways to manage your dollar to get good food is important. And so I definitely want the message to go out that, you know, you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So buying your fresh fruits and vegetables in season is one of those ways that you can really kind of get a nutritional benefit without a whole lot of cost.
And you can grow your own.
Right. That's absolutely a wonderful way to get connected with food, is to participate in growing your own garden or participate in a community garden. Such as Pensacola State College and Century, they actually have a community garden where people are welcome to go and participate in the growing process. And whenever they harvest, they're allowed to take some of the, you know, fruits and vegetables that are grown home with them.
Okay, and where is that again? I didn't know about that.
Pensacola State College and Century.
In Century. Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, that's new one on me, too. Learned about that this morning when we
taking
were
notes
touching
here.
Base. So.
And that's also a good time to like learn about, you know, how to grow. They, you know, they could teach you how to do this at your house.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Another good resource for that too is the Extension Office.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember their website right now, but it's based out of the University of West Florida. There are land grant extension offices in every state in the country. And there's an office in every county in the state. So we have an extension office here in Escambia County. There's one in Santa Rosa, and they have a website that it's like ifas.ufl.edu or something like that. But you can kind of Google Escambia County Extension, and you should find that information. They have resources there. Sometimes it's just fun to see what you can figure out on your own. I ate an apple the other day, and one of the seeds in there had a little bit of a sprout coming out of it.
Oh, gosh.
So okay. I put it in a paper towel and kind of covered it with water, and it started growing a little bit.
Oh, my.
And then I forgot to water it, so it didn't last very long. But but you can do that when you have foods that have seeds in them. You can see if you can sprout them. You know, you can always go buy seed packets. That's an easy thing to do, too,
mm-hmm.
Or little starter plants. But sometimes it's fun, especially if you're working with kids or grandkids, to see if you can sprout what you've been eating. So
absolutely. Okay, so in terms of this month being a special month, what else can you tell us about ways we could take care of ourselves?
Oh, so many ways.
I would say eating for your health. You know, our food, it can really impact. It could be our number one prevention and management of diseases. So just trying, you know, making an effort to make healthy decisions and choosing more whole grains, low-fat dairy products, you know, really making sure to get in your fiber through those whole grains. So choosing like brown rice and look at the ingredient list and see if it says whole grain or whole wheat as the main ingredient, or water and then that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you'll know if it is a whole grain product, because sometimes you can't just tell by the color of the food. You have to actually read the ingredient list.
Yeah, brown bread is sometimes white bread dyed brown.
Or it may be wheat, but it's not whole wheat.
Yes. Right, so reading the labels, very
reading
important.
Those labels,
absolutely.
Yes. And cooking at home is one of the very best ways that you can connect with food. And another good thing about cooking at home, you can control what is going into the food. You know, you could decide how much salt is going in there and how much added fats. And, you know, you could control the portion sizes, and it's more affordable to cook at home.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely more wallet friendly.
Oh, no, especially right now. No doubt about it.
To cook at home. And, you know, making a menu for the week or a meal plan for the week of what you're going to be cooking or preparing is also a very helpful thing in terms of, I think a lot of times people get in a crunch. Something happened, they got home late from work, the kids had an activity they didn't tell you about, and now you got to, you know, get them there. And And that tends to lead people to a crisis situation where they're like, okay, I'm just going to run through the nearest drive-thru or right. order a pizza on the way kind of thing.
I've never done that.
And so, you know, if you have a menu plan and you have things maybe cooked in a batch where you can heat leftovers or mm-hmm. turn them into some other type of repurposed food. My husband has never liked leftovers, like, you know, don't put it on the plate and stick it in the microwave and heat it up. But I've found if you turn it into something else, he doesn't know it's a leftover. So, you know,
secret is out.
So what might have been, you know, Sunday dinner might be a soup or something like that
oh,
on
sure.
Monday night kind of thing. And it goes over really well. And you're still using those extra fruits and vegetables or whatever it is, the meat that you might have had, you know, potatoes,
mm-hmm.
if that's, I'm trying to think of things that we have leftovers. I don't think potatoes are typical of that, but,
right.
but I don't know. Christina might have some similar ideas or experiences.
So. I live in, you know, I'm single and I cook for myself and I tend to cook in big batches, even though it's just me. And then I'll freeze at least half of what I cook, I'll put it into little individual containers. And that way I don't have to eat the same thing for several nights in a row.
Right.
And then you end up, whenever you do that often, like if you do that every time that you cook, then my freezer ends up being filled with all these different meals. And then I don't feel like I'm eating it leftover because I could pick something that I haven't eaten in weeks.
Yeah.
Like
you have
later
options.
On. Yeah. Options later on. And then I don't have to worry about cooking. Sometimes it takes that stress off whenever I like, oh, something came up, now I don't have time to cook, but I can pop this out of the freezer, run it in some cold water, and it'll be ready in mm-hmm. like less than a half hour.
And certainly much better than any frozen food you could buy.
Oh yeah,
I mean, because it's
definitely.
Homemade. Can't beat homemade.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're listening to us this morning, talking with the Florida Department of Health, Marie Mott is here, and also specialist Christina Perron. She is a health educator and nutritionist in public health. And if you have any questions for them, and we're talking about National Nutrition Month, 850-437-1620. Feel free to text in your questions.
Yeah, and in the same vein as what Christina was talking about, one of the things I like to encourage people to do is look at the canned and frozen vegetables that you might find at the grocery store, because, again, those are going to be convenient and also handy. And if you buy the sodium-free or low-sodium ones, then, again, you can control what goes into those. And you can kind of use them in a lot of different ways and have, you know, kind of instant meals or instant add-ons to your meals or whatever you need to do there.
Yeah, absolutely. I love shopping in the frozen food section for my fruits and vegetables because, you know, these fruits and vegetables, they're picked at their peak point in time, and then they're flash frozen, so it preserves the nutrients. It's pretty much just as nutritious, if not more, because it's, you know, it seals in the, it like locks in those nutrients for whenever you're ready to defrost and have them.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't know that, because I think it's frozen for some reason in my mind then it's not fresh. But you're saying it's actually maybe fresher in a way.
Yeah, they're usually fresh frozen. They're frozen at the peak of freshness.
I never thought of it that way.
Because it doesn't continue to sit there and ripen whenever it's frozen. It's like it's a way to preserve.
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense now, but I just never thought about it that way. That's really smart.
And it's just so easy to take that out of the freezer. Mm-hmm. And now I have cauliflower or broccoli for like a dollar. You know?
Right, right. Yeah.
And when you're shopping, a lot of times you'll see some of these things on special. Mm-hmm. The canned and the frozen things, it might be, you know, 5 for $5 or something like that. One of the things that I've kind of learned over the years is you don't always have to buy 5 to get the deal. So sometimes you could buy, if you just want to buy 2, you can usually get them for the same price. You check with the grocery store, but usually they advertise it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy the 5, but they will really give you the price of whatever the unit is. So,
okay. Interesting.
So, you know, those little tips can really make a bang on your wallet in terms of healthy eating on mm-hmm. a budget. So,
and go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and Marie mentioned earlier something about planning, and I just wanted to reiterate and stress that importance of planning meals ahead of time. And before you go to the store, you know, figure out what kind of meals you may want to cook throughout that week and have those ingredients. Check what you already have at home for one. That way you're not, you know, buying things that you already have and that you don't need. And then just once you know what you're cooking, then you can figure out what you do need and write that down and bring that with you. And it can help you stick to your budget. And then you also have all the supplies that you need for the week and to make those meals.
Well, one thing I learned the hard way, don't go shopping when you're hungry.
And that do not
so
do that.
True.
Seriously, because you'll pick up all the wrong things. I mean, so I always take a list. I have to have my list, and that keeps me on track because I'll get distracted. Mm-hmm. I'm like the dog that sees a squirrel. I'll get distracted when I see a buy one, get one that I don't need, but it's a buy one, get one. I get excited about that stuff. So mm-hmm. I have to be careful, you know, having right. that list, planning ahead is really valid, helpful advice.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you can look online to figure out what's on sale before mm-hmm. you even get in the store and see if that could work into your plans for the week as mm-hmm. far as cooking.
Yeah, or if you have an app, some a lot of stores now will have apps, and you can look up the specials ahead of time too when
That's
you're planning.
True, yeah.
So I find that, you know, 20 minutes put into planning for the week really saves you hours
mm-hmm.
Between the grocery trip and the actual prep time and things like that. You know, so
oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes just keeping your pantry stocked with canned goods, like Marie mentioned, and your freezer with just some frozen fruits and vegetables and things like that. Making sure to have like whole grains in the cabinet and just like some quick dry beans, things like that. It can really make it take the stress off of having to go shopping sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you thought you were going to go shopping and now you can't. But then as long as you have all those pantry items and a few things in the freezer, it could keep you from having to go to the store and you can plan a quick meal at home.
Soups are good. Soups, you can actually get healthy soups, healthy choice mm-hmm. soups, those kind of things.
Soups, like Christina said, dried beans, you know, a package of beans that when you cook them,
mm-hmm.
You can do so many different things with them. They can last several days in terms of different meal ideas, or you can put them into soups. You know, you can serve them with some rice or some
beans.
Other vegetables. Beans and rice,
rice
and beans.
There you go.
You know, there's just a lot of different options that you can do with those kind of things. So that's always a good safe tip. I always have one package of dried some kind of beans in my pantry and some kind of usually brown rice or sometimes like a jasmine rice. And, you know, if worst case scenario, I could probably feed the family for a half a week on just having those two
mm-hmm.
things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always, you know.
And so yeah, it's always good to have that full pantry, and especially soon we'll be coming into the summertime and in hurricane season. So you always want to have that little extra so that you're always prepared.
Yeah, the non-perishables.
Right. That's so. Right. That's right. So I was sitting here thinking as you're talking, one of the things too that I think would be very helpful is get the kids involved in the cooking and shopping. Teach them early how to do that, because we do get busy. We're not home. We're not having our traditional sit-down breakfast, lunch, and dinner anymore. But maybe at least plan once or twice a week where you have that sit-down. But get the kids involved in cooking.
For
because
sure.
they would learn so much about it and how to pick fresh vegetables and fruits. They may not even know. I don't know what they're mm-hmm. teaching at this point, but.
And teaching them those skills early on, you know, it could help them build those healthy eating habits for life.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. And if they can get involved in growing fruits and vegetables too, mm-hmm. you know, that's another great activity and good life skill to have. And it exposes them to want to try those things too. So I had a friend who had a huge garden in his yard we were visiting over there and I was afraid my kids were like grasshoppers in there. They were like, just strip his garden bare, eating things off the plants. But you know, that kind of got them interested in trying to grow things on their own. This was back when they were much younger. So they mm-hmm. they enjoy that kind of activity as well. So, and it doesn't really matter how old you are. I don't think it's always fun to try to grow something, exciting to see it grow and get to eat it. So
right. Yep.
So that's always a good thing as well.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like when a kid pulls the cookies out of the oven, they'd always have that smile, big smile on their face because they I cooked this. I did this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's the same thing with making a salad or mm-hmm. vegetables and things like that. Before we get close to the end of time, I want to make sure we talk about our programs that we have at the health department that relate to health management. And Christina is heavily involved in those. So I'm going to kind of let her take the lead on that. So.
Yeah, so we have a couple of programs. We have the Diabetes Prevention Program. So the Diabetes Prevention Program, it is for people who do not yet have not been diagnosed with diabetes but are at a higher risk of developing diabetes or people that may have been diagnosed with prediabetes, which is where their blood sugar is higher than normal. but not high enough to be considered diabetes. So our diabetes prevention program, it is a year-long program, and it's a group program that is led by a trained lifestyle coach. And this program, it was developed by the CDC, and it is a proven program to help develop and adopt healthy lifestyle changes that can help you to lose your weight, and we'll teach you how to become more active, to make healthy decisions. You'll have the support from a trained lifestyle coach, as well as others like-minded participants in the program. And we have a new class that is starting. It'll be on Tuesdays, beginning May 27th, and it'll be at the health department. That's 1295 West Fairfield Drive, and it's going to be from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. So, again, that's going to be on Tuesdays, beginning May 27th, from 4 to 5 at the Florida Department of Health in Escambia. If you'd like more information about that program, you can call us at the health department. And you can also learn more about this program online at escambia.floridahealth.gov. And if you're wondering if you may be at higher risk of developing diabetes, there's also a pre-diabetes risk assessment that you could take on the website, escambia.floridahealth.gov. And that can kind of help you assess whether or not you're at a higher risk of developing diabetes and if this program may be right for you. Then we also have another program called the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program. So this one, it's for anyone who has any chronic disease. So that may be heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, even mental and physical health conditions such as like depression or anxiety. So this class, it's a 6-week program, and we talk about things such as pain management, healthy eating, physical activity. We talk about problem solving. We make action plans. We discuss medication usage. And so this one, we'll have a new cohort that begins in May. It's going to start May 7th. Again, that's a 6-week program, and these classes will also be at the Florida Department of Health, located at 1295 West Fairfield Drive. So the May cohort will be on Wednesdays, starting May 7th, from 1 o'clock to 3:30. So it is a 2.5-hour class.
We are just about out of time, so give that website one more time and the phone number in case anyone wants to call or follow up.
So again, the website is escambia.floridahealth.gov, and the phone number, 850-316-2754. Again, 850-316-2754.